Thank you, Missy. We appreciate that very much. I'm really having a bad day today. I appreciate you feeling sorry for me. It all started out, I got out of bed, I was hungry, I went out to get a bowl of out of the cupboard for cereal, dropped the bowl, crash all over the place. Then I was in my closet hanging up some clothes, broke a hanger and pants fell down. And I get here, and everything was going fine until I did the announcements, and I was so excited about what time the sun's going to come up on Easter morning that I forgot all about doing the memory verse. How many of you knew I forgot about doing the memory verse? John did, because I said to John, you're going to do the memory verse, okay? So then I go and sit down, and I'm saying, oh, you didn't do the memory verse, you big dummy. And so as soon as the last song is over, I come running up here to do the memory verse, and Roy says, you're going to do the offering? You're going to pray for the offering? And Royce, you know, he's trying to bail me out, but, you know, I look like a fool standing up here. So, you know, it's just, you know, the way it goes. Sometimes you have a good day and sometimes you don't have a good day. So I'm really nervous about how this sermon's going to come out in the great scheme of things. So let's do our memory verse first, and then we'll launch into whatever, however this sermon's going to come and go. So John chapter 1 and verse 12. How many of you have been working on your memory verse? Okay, four of you. Awesome. We're going to keep working on that till we get it done. And John has gotten it down, and he's going to share it with us. Go ahead, John. Okay, good job, John. Good job. Who would like to do their memory verse next week? A volunteer before I pick someone? Okay, Delbert's going to do it next week. Okay, so let's all do it together. The reference is John 1:12. You always say the reference first and then the verse. Let's give it a try. Ready? John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe upon his name. Okay, good. You did a good job with that. Thank you very much. And Delbert's going to be on for next week. Thank you, Delbert. Appreciate that. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Philippians chapter 4. The title of the message this morning is Getting Along. And the idea is getting along with people, getting along with other believers, getting along with people that are unsaved. And I want to tell you a little bit of a story before we launch into that. And the story goes like this. Back whenever I was in Bible college, between my junior and senior year of Bible college, myself and two of my friends were hired by the college to build two houses in a summer. My one buddy was a carpenter, another one was an electrician, and I had I was a plumber before I went to Bible college. So the three of us together, we would help the carpenter do carpenter work when it's time for that, help the electrician to do electrician work, help the plumber to do plumbing work, and so we built these two houses over the summer. And the only thing that we really, none of us had any experience with was pouring cement and laying blocks. Okay, so pouring cement would be pouring the foundation of the house, and laying blocks would that was the way in Arkansas that you would put the basement or the foundation or the crawl space in. You would lay blocks on top of the foundation, and then you would build the house on top of that. Other places they pour them, and some places they just put piers in and build the house on that, but this is the way that we did it in Arkansas. So the very first house we poured the foundation, and in the foundation there was a little hump in the foundation. And so we saw that we had made a mistake. And you know, one thing about concrete is whenever concrete gets hard, it's really hard to eliminate your mistakes from that point in time. But we had a great idea. Whenever we lay the blocks, we'll sort of cut the blocks back a little bit or not put as much mud in there or whatever. And we'll get rid of that hump. So we poured the foundation, got the hump, then we put the blocks in. And after we got done looking at the blocks, we looked at the thing and said, uh-oh, the hump's still there. Even though we tried, we still had this, this little hump in the thing. So we said, well, whenever we put the floor down, we'll get rid of the hump at that point in time. So we, put the floor down and put the decking on top of the floor joists. And, we looked at this thing and said, uh-oh, hump's still there. I guess we'll have to take it out whenever we get to the walls. Whenever we're, putting the walls up, we'll cut them back a little bit, the studs back a little bit, and we'll just level this thing out. And so we put the walls up, and we're looking at this thing, and oh no, hump's still there. Still got an issue with the hump. Well, when we put the roof on, we'll cut it back a little bit, and that'll take the hump out for sure. And so we got put the roof on, and the guys came. We hired somebody to put some shingles on, and we're driving down into, as you drive down a little driveway, and we're driving down in there to go to work one day, and we look up there, and guess what? The hump's in the roof till today. And so the foundation is so very important in anything that you do. And so I'd like to lay down a couple of foundational ideas before we launch into getting along here. Foundational ideas about getting along with people. And I have four of them that I wrote down. And I don't know if maybe you're going to have some other ones, but these four foundational ideas go along with getting along. The first one is that we are going to have problems with other people. You're going to have problems with people. I'm going to have problems with people. Everybody has problems with people. Talking to my son-in-law on the phone last night, and he's an engineer, and he said, I'd like to go back to the place where I wasn't the head of engineering, where I had people working for me. He said, it'd be nice to just go back and be an engineer. I said, why is that, Ryan? He said, it's because these guys that work for me, these guys that I'm responsible for, they're just a problem. They're difficult. They're hard. And so the thing we need to recognize when we're thinking about getting along with people is that we're going to have problems with people. Next thing is that we will not always solve the problems that we have with people. That there will be people that we just are not going to get along with, okay? And that's why Paul said over in Romans, he says, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with everyone, okay? He says, to the best of your ability, be peaceable. Third foundation point is God wants us to live in harmony and unity with believers, okay? God's plan is for us to do what? To love one another, to live in harmony, to live in unity with one another as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the last one is, it takes work on our part to live in unity and harmony. It just doesn't, flow like honey. It's work. It's effort. It's straining yourself to live in unity and harmony with other people. So, that being said, that being the foundation, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll look into the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Our God, we thank you so much that you have put us into a world where there are other people. Thank you that you put us into a world where there are other believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, you have made us brothers and sisters in you because we have the same Father. And we know, God, that sometimes we don't always see eye to eye. We don't always have unity in our mind, in our purpose, in our desires. But we pray, dear God, that you would help us to recognize some of the things that are related to getting along with one another this morning and maybe make some changes in our own thoughts and hearts and attitudes. We pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. We have made it to Philippians chapter 4, and this morning we're going to look at the first three verses. And he begins in verse number 1 of chapter 4 by giving this first admonition or command or directive in chapter 4 and verse 1. Now notice what he says. He says, therefore, and drawing it to a conclusion, and if you're familiar with chapter 4, you know that there are a number of different admonitions that Paul gives to the believers in chapter 4. But the first one he gives is in verse 1. He says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Now, when I read that verse, the first thing that pops out to me is how many adjectives that the Apostle Paul uses to talk about the people there in Philippi. I mean, I know men that haven't ever said that many nice things about their wife that Paul says about the Philippian believers in verse number one. Notice what he says. He says, you are my beloved. You know, I love you. You know, you guys are special to, you guys are special to me. And you just think about this for a second. How often do you hear a man say to, to somebody else or to a group of people, I love you? Women say it pretty regularly, but, you know, usually men, that's a challenge. That's a tough thing for men to say or to admit. And so he says, you're my beloved. Not only that, he says, you're my longed for. You know, it'd be so great to see you. It would be awesome to be a part of what's going on with you and to see you and fellowship again and be able to enjoy some of the times that we've had together already. And so he says, you're longed for. He says, you're my joy. You know, you think about your grandkids or your kids being your joy, but here Paul is looking at a group of people that are a part of a church and said, you're my joy. And you think about, you know, what a special time that the Apostle Paul must have had whenever he is at the church at Philippi, getting it started and helping them to grow. And then he says, not only are you my joy, but you're also my crown. You know, you're something special that has happened in my life. You know, it's like getting a crown and being anointed as the king. You've made my life so special in that way because you have gotten saved and you have started this church and you're going on with the Lord and now you're helping me out, and we'll talk about that in weeks ahead. But he says, you know, you're so special. He said, you're my joy. You're my crown. And so he gives us this admonition. He says, so stand fast in the Lord, okay? And the idea of standing fast is the idea of perseverance. It's the idea of, whenever the Christian life becomes difficult, he said, don't quit. Whenever the Christian life becomes hard, don't stop. When the Christian life becomes a struggle, you know, don't give in. You know, stand fast in the things of God, even when there are troubles and trials and difficulties, you know, because, you know, people don't usually want to quit and have a desire to stop when things are going well. You know, you want to keep on going and say, man, this is fun and this is great and this is awesome and we're going to keep at it. But whenever we're trials and struggles and hard times come, you know, that's when we say, well, you know, I'm going to quit, or maybe God has forgotten about me and we come up with those kind of excuses. But Paul says, you know, persevere, you know, stand fast. And, you know, if there's any message that, you know, you and I need to hear on a regular basis is, you know, persevere. You know, don't quit. Don't stop. You know, hang in there. You know, do the best because, you know, God's looking out for you and God is traveling with you and God has in mind all the things that are going on in your life. So just hang in there and persevere and see what kind of things God's going to do, how he's going to, you know, take the ashes and make something special out of those kind of things. And so here the Apostle Paul is saying to that, giving them an admonition. You know, just hang in there and do your best. Hang in there and keep trusting in the Lord. Hang in there and walk by faith. You know, don't quit. Don't stop. The old admonition was to, you've heard, I'm sure, on many times, is that winners never quit and quitters never win. When we quit in our Christian life, you know, what happens? You know, we fall away from the Lord and we lose our testimony and all the joy of our salvation, all of those kinds of things that happen if we don't continue to persevere. And so the Apostle Paul was saying that. He said, you know, don't quit and be victorious in your Christian life. So it's the idea, you know, he starts out this admonition of standing firm in the things of God. Persevere in your Christian life, no matter whether things become difficult or not. And then he goes on to verse 2 after he gives them this admonition. In verse number 2, he says, I beseech Euodia and I beseech Syntyche that they be of one mind in the Lord, okay? Now, most commentators and people that you read about the book of Philippians think and understand that there was a fight, a disagreement, a struggle that went on between Euodia and Syntyche. And it's interesting that Paul, being clear back in Rome, would first of all have heard about that, okay? You know, if a fight breaks out between people, disagreement or an argument or something like that, you know, usually it's not spread from country to country, right? If, you know, two ladies here in the church became, you know, disgruntled with one another, you know, maybe a few of the friends would know about that, but it probably wouldn't make it to, you know, Canada or Mexico or something like that. But the Apostle Paul knew, and probably the reason the Apostle Paul knew was that because Epaphroditus had gone there with the gift, and he probably said, oh, Paul, you're not going to believe what's happening back home. These two women, Euodia, Syntyche, they're, you know, they got this, you know, this struggle going on. They got this, you know, this battle. And again, we don't know exactly what it was. We don't know the depth of it. But apparently there was, you know, some kind of struggle that was taking place between them. And so he says what? He said, I beseech you, be of the same mind in the Lord. It's the idea of, you know, I think he's talking about, you know, you guys need to have a same mind. You need to get along together in the Lord. You need to, you know, to reconcile yourself. You need to, you know, to work to work together for the good of the testimony of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that, you know, people can see that believers in the Lord Jesus Christ can do what? They can get along. So, let me ask you this question. How do you get along with people? Because, you know, people are the strangest things you'd ever want to meet, right? How do you get along? Well, sometimes we would say, well, it's real easy. All you need to do is be kind to people. Be friendly to people. Be gracious to people. Be interested in what's going on with them as opposed to trying to tell them what you're interested in, what's going on in your life. Be other-centered as opposed to being self-centered, okay? And one of the things that it says in the scriptures, I think it was 13 different times in the 13 different times in the King James, it says this, to love one another. Okay. Now, again, when we're talking about loving one another, we're talking about what? Doing what's best for the other person. Okay. And so if you're kind to somebody and you're gracious to somebody, and you're friendly with somebody and you, you know, you're demonstrating this love, you're trying to minister to their needs and you're trying to help them. Most people will respond in a positive way to that and say, wow, you know, I met this really nice lady at, you know, at the Walmart today, or, you know, I ran into this really nice fella at Tractor Supply today, or, you know, I talked to this person on the phone today and they were really nice because they were kind and they were outgoing and they were interested in the things that's, that are going on with me and you know, those kinds of things. And so, you know, we understand what it's like to get along with people because, you know, the golden rule says what? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, right? Treat people the way you would like to be treated, you know, with respect and kindness and all of those kinds of things. So if we know how to do that, what's our problem? What's our struggle? What's our trial? How do we, you know, how do we get into to situations? Well, first of all, everybody doesn't live like that, right? Sometimes we as Christians, sometimes we as non-Christians, we have our own agenda about things. Sometimes we, you know, we sin and we have jealousy towards somebody, or we want to, you know, we have our own agenda about certain things, and we may say something about someone, or we may do something to someone, and then whenever we do this wrong thing, what happens? We sin against them, we upset them, and this getting along together and enjoying one another and being with one another and just woo, having a high old time together just goes right down the tubes. How many of you have been there so far? Everybody raise your hand. We all have, right? We've all had issues with people, okay? Now again, sometimes they're Christian people, sometimes they're non-Christian people, but we have issues with people sometimes. So whenever we have these issues with people, what do we do? How do we handle that? How do we rise above that? How do we restore the relationship with those people? Okay, so let's start by looking at over to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Now, some of the things I'm going to share with you, I already shared with you on June 12th, 2022. How many of you remember that? It was Sunday night, June 12th, 2022. See, I thought you wouldn't remember it either, so I'm just going to say it again. But I wanted to warn you ahead of time that I said it before, okay? Whenever you're dealing with people, and this first situation that we want to talk about here in 1 Peter, this takes place in our homes, I would say almost every single day, or at least once a week, twice a week, three times a week, okay? Something happens at the house. Whoever lives at your house, unless you live alone, you probably don't have this problem. But if you live with somebody else in a house, you have this, issue. Okay. Now, my wife and I have started to enjoy this in our. Well, I'll tell you when it happened. Whenever it started happening, when both of us started to lose our hearing. Because what happens whenever you and the other person begin to lose your hearing? Well, it means you don't hear. You hear noises, but you don't necessarily hear the words, and so you make up those words in your own mind about what you thought that they were saying. How many of you have been through this so far? Okay, great. So you know right where we are. Okay, so you have these things happen. You know, something may have been said or inferred or done or not done or something something like that, and you get a little frustrated about it. You know, why can't that woman just, and you fill in the blank, okay? Why can't she, this or that or the other thing? Why does she say, this or that or the other thing? And so there's a tension that's there, even though, you may have just heard it wrong or she didn't hear you say it in, what you said or, those kind of things. And there's a frustration there. There's a, you get those kinds of things. How many of you are still with me? Okay, you're still there, right? And so you have these kind of things. And so what do you do? Okay, well, one of the options could be you could bring him or her down to the church and say, we need you to straighten this guy out or straighten this woman out. Now, you're not going to do that, right? You could bring somebody else in and say, bring one of your kids in and say, you need to straighten your mom out. Or you need to straighten your dad out. You could do that, but the kids are probably just going to laugh at you and say, you're just getting old, live with it. It'll be okay. But here's the thing that we do, okay? Over in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8, he says, above all things, have fervent love among yourselves. Why? He says, because this love shall cover a multitude of sins. This love that we have for one another, this other person that I live with in their house, I love them so much that I'm just going to, overlook it, forget it, forgive them, just move on. Because I recognize that not only do I have to put up with her or him, but that her or him has to do what? Say it again. Put up with me, right? You know, it's a mutual kind of it's a mutual kind of thing, and so you just sort of let those things you let those things go. You just sort of forget about those kinds of things, and you move on, saying it's just one of those things. It's just part of life. I'm not perfect. They're not perfect. They do something that's wrong, bugs me, those kinds of things. I'm just going to overlook it. I'm going to forgive them and move on because of my love for them. I care about them. I'm interested in them. I have my whole life invested in these people. And so therefore, I'm going to do that. We do it with our kids all the time as they grow up and they do certain things. And we just say, we just have to overlook that. And people that we love, we do those kinds of things. Because this love that we have for them, this love that we care about them, what do? We say, I'm going to let that just cover up. Going to forgive them. We're going to move on, and then you can do what? Then you can get along. Sometimes, though, what happens? They have said or done this same thing so many times that they say something to you. Okay, let's look at another passage of scripture, over into to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, talking about whenever somebody does something to you, somebody does something against you. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15. It says, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear you, you have gained thy brother." Okay? So somebody does something to you and it just bothers you. It just, it's just sort of like a splinter in your finger. It's there and it's infecting you and you're just feeling worse about it. And so you begin to build walls between you and another person in the Lord Jesus Christ. What does he say? He said, don't allow that to build walls. But he says, go and talk to that person and explain to that person what the situation is. And he said, whenever you explain that, then you can get the thing straightened out and you go back to having that relationship again. And the interesting thing about that is that many times when you tell somebody who is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ that what you have said and what you have done is really bothering you, they'll respond by saying, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that. I didn't know that bothered you. I was just, teasing or having fun or I didn't recognize that, that was difficult for you. And I won't do that anymore. I'll stop. And what have you done? You've gained a brother. You have restored the relationship. It's happened to me a couple of times since we've been here. If you've been around me very much, I like to tease people and I like to have fun and I like to talk about things. And I've had a couple people say to me, I don't like it whenever you say da da da. And I responded by saying, well, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that bothered you and I won't do it again. I like that and the fact that I know that I'm not pushing their buttons or making them upset. They like it because I'm not doing that anymore. Okay? Now, these people could have just, forgotten about it. I would have probably kept saying what I was going to, what I was saying, and just, every time they get around me, he's going to say it again, just build up this kind of thing. But when you go to the person and you say, hey, This is an issue. This is a problem. This is this really bothers me. This thing that you do, many times, just like that, the person will recognize because they didn't know it was a problem that you had. Now, let me warn you about a couple of things. Okay, whenever you're going to somebody and you're explaining to them that they have done something that has offended you, do not go with an accusation. Go with a question. Okay, now what do I mean by that? Okay, when you go with an accusation, it's something like this. Suppose that Pastor Tracy is has been sneaking in here and eating my lunch. Okay, and I could say to Pastor Terry, what's the matter with you? Why in the world would you come in here and steal my lunch and eat it like that? Don't you know better than that? Okay, now what have I done? I've judged him, I am the jury, and I'm ready to execute him for the things that he have done. As opposed to saying, Pastor Terry, I usually bring my lunch in, and I've noticed that some things have been missing out of my lunch. Do you know what happened to it? And he would say, yeah, I've seen Tracy come in here and take that stuff right out of that lunch. Okay? And then he shares it with Jeffrey, and, the two of them just, my wife packs me a big lunch, right? So here I am, I'm thinking that he has done something whenever it's the other two guys are the culprit, right? So if you go with an accusation and a condemnation to somebody whenever you're doing this, you've already got them stirred up and you've put them on the defensive. But when you go with a question and ask, do you realize that, what has said here is what you have said is it's really bothering me. What you have done here is just an issue. And usually, many times, more than we could think about, whenever you say that to the person, you come up to them and you ask them this question, this is an issue with me. Could we do something about it? Could we resolve this thing? Could we get this thing straightened out? Could we settle the matter? Many, 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 many times, more than we even think, the person is going to say, wow, I didn't know that. I didn't know that was an issue with you. I didn't know it was a problem with you. Yeah, let's get that straightened out. I want us to have that relationship. And I'm talking about even in husband and wife relationships. Sometimes we as husbands and wives, we let stuff get in our craw and just sort of, infect there and make it work. We need to talk about these things and bring these things up and deal with them and have forgiveness and handle these things in the right way. And so that's what he says. He said, whenever somebody has trespassed against you, they have said something, they've stolen something, they have, accused you of something, those kind of things, go to them yourself. You don't need an audience. You don't need to tell everybody in the church and say, pray about this because I think that Pastor Terry's eaten Pastor Joe's lunch and we need to pray about this, that he would stop doing these kind of things. You don't need to spread that around for everybody to know about. You go and talk to him and you get the thing straightened out, or you go and talk to her, whatever the situation is, and you do that. And that's what Matthew says. He says you resolve these things by going and contacting the person. Now, keep your finger in Matthew chapter 18 and turn back to Philippians chapter 4, because we're going to go back to 18 again. But I want you to notice what he says in chapter 4. He tells them to stop fighting. You can do this by dealing with overlooking the sin. You can go and talk to this person, get the thing straightened out between you and him alone. You have gained a brother. Now notice what he says back in chapter 4 in verse 3. Verse 2 said, I beseech Euodia and Syntyche that they be of one mind in the Lord. And then he says in verse number 3, he says, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other fellow believer whose names are in the book of life. So here he is saying to the church, you guys need to do what? You need to help those guys, help these two ladies to restore their relationship. You need to help them get things back together again. Because there's nothing worse for the testimony of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is whenever you have church fights and church splits. Church animosity between other brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ doesn't want us to live that way. He wants us to live as a happy family of people loving one another and serving together in the things of the gospel. And so here he says to them, this is what you need to do. He said you need to help them to handle this thing. And in 1 Corinthians, he has a passage of scripture there that talks about, don't take things to a judge, bring them to the church and deal with them. But I want us to go back to Matthew chapter 18. And in Matthew chapter 18, notice what the Lord Jesus says here. In verse 15, he said, go to that person alone. In verse 16, he says, but if he will not hear you, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouths of two or three witnesses every word may be established. Okay, so you go to that person and you seek to get the thing straightened out with them, and they won't do anything. They won't recognize maybe that they have done wrong, or they won't recognize that you've trespassed against them. They won't, there's some issue there that's still lingering between the two of you. So what does he do? He says, take one or two. Now you want to take one or two people that, have, some spiritual maturity, that have a desire to see the situation worked out and change. You want to take people with you that have some, discernment in dealing with people, but you take them along with the idea of, first of all, it shows, I'm serious about, getting this conflict that we have restored. I'm serious about, dealing with this thing, and I'm asking, these men to come along so that we can, make sure that, what you said is right, what I have said is right, the words have been established, and give these, people that come along with you an opportunity to say, well, you're probably 50% right, and you're 50% right, because let's face it, in any kind of a conflict, nobody's 100% right, right? And so we get that worked out, and you're part right, and you're part, and give those people some opportunity to say, here's some ideas, here's some suggestions about how you can get this, get these things straightened out. Probably both of you need to ask forgiveness for one another. Both of you need to make some changes. both of you need to, to deal with some things, and give those folks that come from the church an opportunity to give you an encouragement of how to settle the dispute, the argument, the struggle that's going on between you, again, so that the Church of Jesus Christ can be glorified, the Church of Jesus Christ can be unified. You take this person along. And so the church says to help them. And Paul said to the church at Philippi, he says, you, true yoke fellows, these ladies, they're both written, their names are in the book of life. They're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, but we need them to get along together, not to be fighting and having a church split and the struggles that are going along with that. We need to work together to do these things. Now notice what it says in verse number 17. I'm sure you're familiar with this, but it says in verse 17, and it says, and if he shall neglect to hear them, okay, this person that you're going to, if they won't hear the other two men who come with you, or the other two people who come with you, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an infidel or a heathen and a tax collector. Okay, so he said, if he won't hear the two or you can't resolve the thing, then bring it to the church. Let the church have an opportunity to give input and to help and to endear you and to encourage you to deal with whatever the situation is. And probably by this time, there's an issue of pride that's involved in the whole thing. That here I am, airing my dirty laundry in front of the front of the whole church and all of those kinds of things. But if the person won't deal with that, then you treat him as an infidel. He would be put out of the church. Why? Because there is no resolution to the situation. There's no resolution to the problem. And so one of the things we need to see here is that the Lord himself wants us to do what? He takes seriously this idea of unity and love for the brothers and sisters in Christ and handling our problems and our trespasses that we have with one another. And we do it by what? We do it by, overlooking those things and say, I love them. I'm just going to, just not worry about this sin and move on. And I'll tell you how you know whether that's a good idea or not. That once you have done that, if it's still eating at you, you need to go to the person. If you can forget it and just forsake it and go on and there's no issue about the thing, all well and good. But if it's still eating at you, if every time you see them, that thing comes into your mind, then you need to go to them and you need to get it straightened out. But here's the Apostle Paul telling the church here in Philippi. He said, this is what you need to do. He said, you guys need to help these two ladies to solve their problems, their differences, and get it back together again. Get their relationship restored. And so when I think of application for this, these three verses that we're talking about, several things I think of that apply to us. First one is this, that we need to stand fast in the Lord. Second one is that we need to live in harmony with one another. But the third one, I think, is the gist of the message is this. If you have something, a problem, an issue, a situation with somebody, you need to get it straightened out. Again, the responsibility rests on you, not on the other person. Because that other person may not even know that you have issues, may not even know that you have problems, may not even know that you have a grudge or an unforgiving spirit towards them. And they won't know that until you go and you get the thing straightened out with them. And, you know, we recognize that, you know, sometimes we recognize that we have wronged someone. I remember whenever I was in Bible college, this is one of those shame on me stories. I was in Bible college and my mother-in-law, I love my mother-in-law. She was a great lady. If you want to know what she's like, watch her daughter and you'll know exactly what she's like. She was a great lady. But she had a tendency sometimes to, you know, nose into our business about things, which, you know, same thing happens with probably every family. But she and I were talking on the phone, and I said something to her that was just disrespectful and wrong to say. And we got done, hung up the phone, and I said to myself, that's not right. You can't treat that woman that way. And you know how people are. Oh, it's no big deal. She'll forget about it. You know, I don't need to apologize. I don't need to come to her and ask her to forgive me for what I said. And so, you know, a week goes by and things still bugging me because I know that I'm in the wrong. And another week goes by and I'm making excuses for myself and why that I shouldn't do those kind of things. And so finally, after that, I call her back up on the phone again and I say, Sal, you know, we had that conversation X number of weeks ago, and I was really wrong in the things I said to you. You know, I love you, and I said the wrong things. And will you forgive me for doing that? And she obviously forgave me for doing that. You know, she's a good, godly woman. But just, you know, sometimes we know in our heart that we have wronged somebody. And whenever we do that, we need to be the one to go. And sometimes when somebody wrongs us, they might not know it, so we need to be the one to go and to get the thing straightened out. And so theoretically, between believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we should run into each other, going to each other to get the situation straightened out, right? Probably doesn't happen that often, but my encouragement today is if you have an issue with somebody, go to them, ask them a question. Do you recognize what you have done and that has really hurt my feelings or has done something to me? And we just need to get it worked out so that I have the right relationship, my right attitude towards you, and you can have a right attitude towards me. Let's get it straightened out, not just so it's good for us, but for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you would be surprised how many churches there are in the world that we live in that have been split or have people that sit on this side of the church that will never talk to people that are on this side of the church and all those kind of things because they don't handle these trespasses, disagreements, you know, things that are said, they don't handle it in a biblical way. We need to do that. Let's pray. Our precious and wonderful Father, we come before you with humble hearts, and we ask you, dear God, to point out if there's someone that we need to maybe make an apology to for wrongs that we have done to them, or somebody that we need to go to get a relationship straightened out. And I ask, Heavenly Father, that you would just Give us a soft and a tender heart towards you so that we can have a soft and a tender heart towards the people that are around us, that we would love them and show and give to them, God, the respect and the grace that you have given to us. Because, Lord, we realize that forgiveness and restitution are all based upon the fact that you have forgiven us for all of our sins. And how can we go about not forgiving other people for their sins? We pray, Lord, asking your help in these things. In Jesus' name, amen.